Hello, and welcome to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement, where our vision is to reach, enhance, and advance lives. It is our prayer that you hear something during this podcast that both transforms and furthers you in the things of God. So, grab your notebook and Bible, and let's dig into the Word together.
Repeat after me, the only way that I can make my way pure is to guard it. According to this word, this word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Today, I will receive the word implanted, which is able to save my soul. Have your seats. To which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Simon, I got some echo in this mic. As we come to the end of this first chapter, I already worked with verse 14 a little while, and we learned that all of the angels are ministering spirits. But as we come to the end of this first chapter of Hebrews, I know it was only supposed to take me a month, but y'all be all right. We are face to face with a passage that should make us rejoice. Sadly, Elder Leela, we like to throw Bible verses around, but only portions of them. We love to say, who's under our feet? We like that part. The devil is under my feet. The devil's under my feet. Well, you sure? Because we should rejoice over this passage. We should walk in confidence over this passage. This passage highlights the reality of a defeated enemy. But are you sure that he's the footstool under your feet? After all, if we were to put the verse back on the screen in verse 13, it says, sit at my right hand. Clearly, contextually, this is talking about Jesus. Now, we're supposed to be seated with him in heavenly places, but contextually right here, we're talking about Jesus. Therefore, a footstool for your feet is the foot of Jesus. That's not my foot. Oh, wait. I'm going to mess with a couple people today. Saints, that's not your foot. People of God, to those in our cyber viewing audience, to the members, guests, and friends, first giving honor to God, who is the head of our life, to the mother's board, to the deos, to the ushers, usher boards number 1, 3, 5, and 7. I would like to say to the saints, that is not your foot. That is not your foot. The passage is often applied to everyone. Clergy and people who have the mic in their hand love to tell us, to shout how the devil is under your feet. Sounds good and makes sense. Can I highlight that's not your foot? To extrapolate this point further, as I just keep this tension going a little bit, in the 80s, American Express introduced a slogan that would speak to and appeal to the intended exclusive audience that they wanted to have. spoke of their perks and the benefits associated with their credit cards. During these advertisements, people of God, you would see exclusive access to events. They'd show people getting into places you can't get into. Reservations at private restaurants, first class travel, and personal concierge. And they would end the commercial, all of this extravagance, with a statement, Guan, it was membership has its privileges. You see, I believe that we have done many a great injustice by telling people that when we read a text like this, did it apply to everybody? Oh, see? Yeah, okay. Let me keep the tension going a little. We done messed people up. We done told people that was their foot. You see, I believe we need to be honest with the saints. Jesus is available to everyone, but everyone hasn't made a decision for him yet. Amen. I'll do it again. I said, Jesus is available to all of us, but all of us ain't made a decision yet. We have people thinking that they're entitled to the privileges of membership. You ain't got a card. I'm sorry, your debit card is not American Express. One must not only make a conscious decision to come into communion with the Lord, but you also must make a decision that once I get into communion with the Lord, Brother Art, that I'm going to do everything I got to do to maintain good standing. So when we read that the enemy is under our feet, we need to understand that the enemy is under the Lord's feet. Now, as I keep this tension going some more time, anthropomorphically, that was for you. Anthropomorphism. To ascribe to God human characteristics. So anthropomorphically, y'all got it. If we look at this from an anthropomorphic premise, God ain't got feet. Okay. We talk about feet because we can't understand what God has. If you want to talk about the character of God, he can only describe himself as yes. When they ask God what his name is, I am. So when we get to talking about the hand of God and the feet of God and the eyes of God, that's for our benefit. It's the scripture. It's God loving us so much that he has to bring himself all the way down to our understanding. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to make no sense of a God whose complete attribute is yes. And so when I look at this and I go, okay. So the enemy is under the feet of the Lord. So for us to celebrate and fully benefit from this reality, we must realize, watch this, I got to be a member of his body to put my foot on the enemy. Because if his foot is on the enemy, but I'm not a member of the body with the foot, that means that my foot ain't on the enemy, no matter how much I keep declaring that the devil is under my feet, because the devil ain't under my feet. The devil is under his foot. That means he got a different body. Oh, boy. And if I'm not a part of his body, then I can yell and scream and do all that I want to do. I can spit and twirl and go all over the benches. And at the end of the day, ain't no devil under my feet. Does that make sense? I got to be a member. I'll give it to you another way. I got to be a member to gain footstool access. Now, I'll say it again. I got to be a member to gain footstool access. Now somebody is gearing up they comments right now. Bishop Desmond and Daphne, they gearing them up. They in the inboxes. You ain't got to be a member of nobody's church. You ain't got to be a member of nobody's church in order for me to have a relationship with God. We want relationship over religion. That's what they say. First of all, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. Help the widows and the orphans and keep yourself unspotted from the world. So everybody who's talking about you don't want religion, you don't want to live right. Because we know what religion is. Huh? Help the widows and the orphans and keep yourself unspotted. So if you want to be nasty and you don't want to help nobody, then you don't want religion. Because that's what religion is. I'm not talking about what we've made it. Any term can be usurped. Huh? Any term can be hijacked. Amen? When I was getting my master's degree, they told me that African Americans can't be evangelical. That's what they told me. You black, you too oppressed to be evangelical. That's what the professor told me. He told me that straight up with a straight face. But evangelical, the term has been hijacked. Now the term belongs to a political party. When the term evangelical comes from evangelion, where we get the word gospel. So every Christian should be evangelical. Everybody who believes in the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ should be evangelical. But because we allowed a rogue offender to hijack a particular term, now we're going to give the term up and let them have it. The devil is a liar. So I'm not going to let them have that term. Neither am I going to let them have any other term that any rogue offender wants to have. That makes sense. So I know someone is saying, you can't tell us we got to be a member. So I'll tell you two more times. You got to be a member. You got to be a member. That's going to break my three times thing. You got to be a member. There you go. Now, notice I didn't say that you got to be a member of a particular church institution. That's not what I said. I didn't say that at all. I didn't say you have to be a member of a church institution. I didn't say that. But you do have to be a member of the body. But before somebody runs off, let me add to it. Number one, write this down. If I'm going to be a member of the body, write this down. The body gathers. Okay. All of this, I'm a member of the body of Christ, and we don't never see you gathering with no other people of the body? It's only so long that a dismembered body part can be separated from the rest of the body and live. It's just only so long that that's possible, that you can have a part of the body that is dismembered from the other part of the body and then it can live on its own. It's only so long that that can happen. You got a really short window of time, huh? Your window is short. I mean, it's really, really small, huh? I was talking... I think my wife and I, we were talking about a story. Yes, we were. It's my wife and I. We were talking about a story of someone who was waiting for a transplant. And they were waiting for this transplant. And when you're on a particular transplant list, you got to always be at the ready. You got to be at the ready. And so she got the call. And she was at the ready. And she got to the hospital. And they were prepping her for surgery. And they took her under. And she came out. And she realized she hadn't had surgery. It's because the organ that was on the way, it didn't make it because there was a traffic jam. There was a traffic jam, and they weren't going to put this organ in her body because it can only be outside the body so long. Huh? So for all of you who sitting at home, amen, and you don't want to connect to nobody, you can only be dismembered for so long before you lose your efficacy. So the body intrinsically gathers. A dismembered body is neither whole nor healthy. A dismembered body is neither whole nor healthy. I'm just going to sit at home and get my relationship. Oh, so you're going to put yourself in a cooler and hope that you don't spoil. Number two, the body and not the individual is the church. I'll do it again. The body and not the individual is his church. Third time. The body and not the individual is his church. So this is for everybody. I said, you got to be a member. And, you know, folks is like, I ain't doing it. Okay, number one, the body gathers. Number two, the body and not the individual is his church. I understand. I'm not going to get in no debates. I'm not going to get in no arguments. I'm not going to get in no social media wars. I'm not going to do it. But let me tell y'all something. Y'all can keep talking crazy about this bride if y'all want to. You keep putting your mouth on God's wife if you feel like it. You go ahead. You go. Keep talking about my man's wife. Go for it. Bunch of folk. Okay. All right. Because this radical individualism that we see embedded within our current erroneous ecclesiology, that's the doctrine of the church, where one person can be the church all by themselves. That's like saying that the eyelid is the whole body. No, seriously. I'm the church. You are not. We, not you. 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 We, if your eyelid can't be your body, one of y'all can't be a church. Does this make sense? Now wait, Bishop, why are you going through all this? Because I got to get my foot on the enemy. Does this make sense? I want to see my foot on the enemy. Now watch this. Let's go a step further. I don't want my foot on the enemy to defeat him. That's not what this verse says. He's a defeated foe. I want my foot on the enemy because there's some stuff that I can't reach. See, y'all, I'm short. I'm real aerodynamic. I'm close to the ground. I'm not like some of these tall individuals. I'm aerodynamic, close to the ground. You know what I'm saying? Some of y'all tall. I used to feel bad about not being tall, but now I thank God for being short because I'm aerodynamic. When the wind hits me, it just goes by. Just aerodynamic. But that also means that there comes some times where some stuff I can't reach. Does that make sense? So like, you know, where Skano's in the back. Skano can probably come in my house and, you know, y'all ever have that annoying beep for your fire, your smoke alarm? So Skano can probably reach his hand up and just go ahead and grab that and pull that little 9-volt out of there. Pop another back in and just pop, not kid. Sort it, huh? Now I'm not ashamed. I just thank God for footstools. I'm not ashamed. Why in the world am I going to sit there and strain to read something when I have a footstool? And watch this. I got various types at different heights depending upon just how high I need to get. I got one that's just a one little single step footstool. I got a two-step footstool. I got me a two-stepper where I can get up even higher. If it get really serious, please understand, a ladder is nothing more than a footstool. I got an A-frame, huh? Him got about 8-9 steps on him.
A-frame?
Oh, yeah, that's when I need to get some way up there. Huh? Then don't let me mess around and get a straight. We got one of them you got to put on top of a truck if I can come get him. If I got to get to a roof or something. Huh? I'm not going to sit there, watch this, and complain about a problem that I can't get to because of height if I've been provided with a footstool. Neither should you complain about a victory that is higher than yours when if you just had the foot of the Lord, you can reach your victory posture, you can reach your victory status, but he, you have enemies. See, so many of us want to crush enemies. You want to be victorious instead of saying, I'm too short for the promise. This verse is not about crushing the devil. Because why would I want a broken footstool? Okay, let's go. Okay. Some of y'all need these devils to stick around for a little while. Huh? You want to banish the devil. Some of y'all need these devils to stick around for a little while. Stick around, let me stand on you a while. Because I got some stuff. I got some stuff I need to get. If you leave my life, I can't elevate. Lord, take it from me. Lord's like, nah, I got some stuff that you would never reach that height of prayer without that devil. You would never reach that height of worship without that devil. You would never reach that height of gratitude without that devil. You wouldn't even be as nice as you are now if you wouldn't have had that devil in your life. I had to keep him in there in order for you to reach another level. Number one, the body gathers. Number two, I know, because y'all want people to leave. Yeah. Can I be done? You're not tall enough to be done. You're not tall enough yet to be done. And until you get to the height. See, watch this. Let me tell you. You no longer need a footstool if you build a structure at your new level. Okay, all right, let's teach. If the only time I reach particular levels of prayer is during times of adversity, the footstool has to stay. Did y'all hear me? If I'm a crisis prayer warrior, then the footstool has to stay. But if I demonstrate to God that now, out of the crisis, I have developed a love affair for this new level of prayer, and I stay here even outside of crisis, now God will recognize that I have now built a stairway and a landing at the new level, and I no longer need the footstool called a devil. Let's go further. Boom. Let's hit it again. This is how you resist. Remember, to resist the devil, he flees. Right? Ain't that the Bible? Resist the devil and he'll do what? Flee. Wonderful. So to resist means to apply pressure, to push back, not to shrink back, to push back. Okay, the way that I resist the devil is by building a structure at the new level of worship, the new level of prayer, the new level of where I'm going that demonstrates to God I want to be here. When I build that new structure and now I got a stairway up to my new level of prayer, now the devil has to flee because he's no longer useful for me. See, we got to learn as believers to no longer be afraid of Judas, but to utilize him. Go ahead, Judas, reveal the glory. Ain't no reason me being mad at you, Peter. Go ahead, tell me they don't know me. I'll come back and holler at you in a minute. Is this making sense? Number three. A headless body is dead. A headless body is dead. Third time. A headless body is dead. And despite all these new flurry of Episcopal arch, triple arch, quadruple arch, popes, potentates. I saw a black cardinal the other day, and he wasn't Catholic. Despite all that, it's only one head of the church. His name's Jesus. I'm not anti-holy orders. Those that know me, I teach that. I'm not anti-holy, but some of this stuff you making up. Some of this stuff you making up. You just want to wear new colors of clothes. You make it up. You want somebody to bow to you and not recognizing that the greatest of these is a servant. We got to get this stuff right in the body of Christ. Maybe the reason that we got people saying so manner of disparaging things about the church is because we got people who say they're representing the church that make the bride look like a fool. Come on, it is possible for people to show up at a wedding and to believe that the bride ain't no good because the wedding coordinator's a mess. Y'all not in the room. Y'all, you ain't never showed up to a wedding and you like, why is this taking so long? Meanwhile, the bride is back in the bridal chamber crying. Meanwhile, the bride is back in the bridal chamber wishing somebody would help. It's everybody that's supposed to be helping the bride that fails. Sometimes the bride wanted to be their own time, but the hairdresser was ghetto. Sometimes the bride wanted to be their own time, but the dress manufacturer was a mess. The bride wanted to be there on time, but the makeup artist took 24 more minutes to get there than they were supposed to do. And then that's the church. It's the preacher that preaches an erroneous doctrine. It's the choir member who's singing around with everybody. It's the musician who can't keep their zipper up. It's the hospitality team that can't be nice. And everybody thinks the bride got a problem, but it's all of the accoutrement. It's all of us around the bride who are supposed to represent. Making the bride look bad. Bride back there in the waiting room trying to get ready for a wedding. You up there trying to be a star. You the coordinator. You the coordinator. You supposed to be out the way. This ain't your day. This ain't your day. It's not your day. Huh? This is not your day. Why you got a new dress on? This ain't your day. You the coordinator. You the coordinator. Huh? Why you taking pictures? You the coordinator. We need you working. Oh, I feel it. You the coordinator. Come on, leaders and friends, every pastor who gonna watch this, we're coordinators. We're supposed to be getting the bride ready. Why are you trying to be so important? Why are you on every flyer? Why in the world we got to put your face everywhere? Come on now, you the coordinator. You ain't got to be dancing on every, you the coordinator. Why we know more about your story than we know the story of Jesus? You're the coordinator. Why you always preach your life and not the life of the risen King? You're the coordinator. Y'all excuse me. And I'm here to call some coordinators to repentance. Glory. I'm here to restore beauty back to the bride. Yeah. The reason that we got people with a national voice disparaging the very institution that Jesus died for is because they keep running up against rogue coordinators. Bunch of nasty, backbiting, money grubbing fools who trying to get rich off the back of God's people. The body gathers. Oh yeah, that's the way I feel about it. That's the way I feel about it. Yeah, because somebody got to stand up and say something. Somebody going to have to stand up and say something. All these other weak jelly back folks, somebody got to say something. They gotta say something. Huh? Because we're more concerned with the performance of church. We wanna entertain each other. Huh? We want church to be hype, but not effective. Huh? Man, we churched today. Did you now? You churched. Who pulled out the spot brush and scrubbed you real good? Huh? Or did they let you stay nasty? The church gathers. The body gathers. The body is not the individual. It's the collective. And a headless body is dead. So let's go deeper. Can I have some more minutes? I'll take them. 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to take them. Even as the body is one, Oh, Lord. Even as the body is what? And yet has many members. All the members of the singular. All the members of the singular body, though there are many, one body, so also is Christ. Huh? So when we get to talking about who we ain't going to associate with, you better make sure that the ones you're not associating with are not people that he associated with. Because it ain't two bodies. It's not a Kojic body and a Pentecostal body. It's not a PAW body and a Methodist body. It's not a Baptist body. Hey, y'all ain't in here? It's a body. And he's coming back for a body, not a denomination. And I'm going to keep working. Everybody can get mad at me. That's fine. Come on. Woe when all men speak well of you. Verse 13. For by one spirit, huh? It don't say by apostolic spirit. Huh? Because I knew sometimes my apostolic brothers and sisters, I think they feel like they got a special Holy Ghost. One brother pulled his particular apostolic card out. I was back in Price Stores. I tell you how long ago it was. I was in Price Stores, and he said, listen, man, listen, we the real saved ones. Okay. One spirit. We were all baptized into one body. Jew, Greek, slave, free. We're all made to drink one spirit. Verse 14. For the body is not one member. The body ain't one member. Anytime y'all see somebody on social medias, these social media prophets, great social media congregations, talking about, I am the church, just comment that verse right there. You can't be, because the body's not one member, but many. The literal word ecclesia is plural. Where we get the word church from. Ecclesiology is the study of the church. To study the church, I must understand the individual, but also understand that the individuals make up the collective. Amen. Listen, y'all, when we don't like community and you don't want to be around your small group and you don't want to get together with people alike in precious faith and I just want to come to church and I want to get what I need from the Lord and I want to go on home. Oh, so you want privileges without requirements. You want to put the devil under your foot, but that ain't your foot. Sorry, you're going to keep reaching. Got some stuff, it's up there. You would have footstools if you wanted to be in your group. You have a footstool if you just didn't mind gathering. I'm an introvert. Okay, cool. I stick to myself. No problem. So you think God made you to stick to yourself. No problem. So I want y'all to just think about this because he made a body. So I want y'all to just think about this. He made you to stick to yourself. So what would happen if your heart said, I'm sticking to myself today. I just want to be alone. I don't want to come out today. If your heart was like, you handle your own beating and blood flow, you handle all that by yourself, because I ain't coming out today. I just need some alone time. What if your lungs? The heart was like, oh, you ain't coming out. Lungs was like, I think I'm going to have me a day too. Now the rest of the body is like, first of all, I'm gonna need both y'all to come back to the party. We turning blue. We can't get no oxygen. This is a problem. Come on, heart. Be a part of the body. Show up, gather. Gather. Does this make sense? Let's go further. Now, this passage that we just read, I need to think a little bit more deeply. I'm almost through, but I need us to think a little bit more deeply. Clearly, the body is a victorious body. Amen. Clearly, the body will encounter enemies. Amen. Just need to think a little bit deeper. But I would hate an enemy that is targeting the body, but I'm not part of it. I'll do it again. If I'm not part of the body and I encounter an enemy that's coming at the body, but I don't want to be a part of the body, now I gotta fight an enemy that was targeting the body when I'm only the member. Does that make sense? Okay, I'll give it to you more, even more simply. Anybody have military service in here? Wonderful. Yes, Sister Pat, I know. So, Sister Pat, thank you for your service. Guan, thank you for your service. There you go. Thank you for your service. Coach, Deke, thank y'all for your service. Yeah, thank y'all for your service. How would y'all feel? Sister Pat, if you got a phone call, the United States is at war. The United States is at war. We ain't going. You got it. Gather up all the ammo you got in your house because we ain't giving you nothing. Now, we at war because, watch this, she's not part of we. She got to go by herself. That, I don't care how bad you think you are. Coach was a military sharpshooter. Go on with all that sharpshooting. Go ahead. Go on with your bad self. But the reality is this, when there's an enemy that wants the body, I need the whole body to show up. Amen. I need the whole body to show up. One of the beautiful things, listen, regardless of how you feel about what's going on in Israel right now, there's a unique nature about how Israel handles their military. Everybody above a certain age is in the military. Everybody. So when they got attacked, literally by that night, everybody was like, be right back. They was going, they was lifting up couches like, yep, let's go. Next thing you know, literally there was a picture on the news of an entire convoy of people who just finished dinner and showed up to work. Why can't we do that? I know why, because I'm the church. But if we were the church and one person, everybody would be like, you did what again? You see y'all, one person in the body, not in your church building. Pastor Norman Scarce. Pastor Norman Scarce, listen, went back and they told him that the cancer had returned to his physical body. He don't go here. See, y'all don't like this type of talk. We're going to do it anyway. Pastor Norman Scarce is not a member of Marketplace. I don't cover his church. He pastors the Gateway Cathedral. He is, watch this, in the Church of God in Christ. But when I heard, y'all not in here. that there was an ailment in his body. I called him. Hey, man, do you need anything? Do you need your pulpit covered? Do you need any food? Is everything all right? I'm not saying that to brag. I'm trying to show y'all this is what the body does. If he would have told me I ain't got nobody to preach, I would have told every preacher, activate. Let's go. Y'all know I would have. I would have been sending y'all one Sunday after a time. You first, then you, then you, then you. Don't y'all ask for no offering. Let's get to work. That's what we do. That's the body. It's the body. But no, we're busy trying to grow our own kingdoms. I thank God for this church. I thank God for the generosity. I thank God for the culture. I thank God for the leaders. But never forget, Marketplace, we are called to the body. I thank God for all of you. I have sent many of you. You have done great work. Every leader in this church, thank God for you. But let us never get isolated. Let us never get arrogant that we forget we got work to do. Story after story that I won't even tell of people who call this church and need help and we don't even know them. Amen. But nah. Whose church you go to? Let me say one more thing and I'm done. I would hate to encounter an enemy that came at the body and I'm trying to do it by myself. But let's go here. The body has access to armor. Not the individual. See, when we read Ephesians 6, put it on the screen. Put this on the screen. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Verse 11. Put on the full armor. Okay.
Thank you for listening to the podcast of the Marketplace Movement.
Right?
Remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So I challenge you to make hearing the word a consistent habit. And if you know someone who may benefit from hearing this teaching, I encourage you to send it to them as well. May God bless you. May heaven smile upon you and give you peace. This is my prayer.
You just may be the foot, but you need all this leg infrastructure. I need all. I'm not gonna mess with you today. I need all this leg infrastructure. Oh, I was about to start talking about Bishop Desmond. She looked at me and said, "Don't you do that?" Huh? You got that nicely manicured foot, and that leg infrastructure ain't functioning. And you like, come on, foot, stomp on the devil's head, and the leg is like, nah, man. You need me for stomping. You need the hip. Huh? You need all that. You need that knee to flex. Huh? That hip flexor needs to say, got you. Knee, engaged, right? You need all that right there. And then it's like, all right, foot, you ready? We ready. Stomp. Good. Let's do it again. But meanwhile, that left foot is like, you left me behind. Don't be trying to get all the glory by yourself. See, I'm preaching and y'all missing it. You think that because you had one victory, there's not a rest of the body that actually benefits from the victory. Please understand, the equipment boy gets a ring when the team wins the championship. I said the equipment boy, y'all need to know who that guy is. I went down a full rabbit hole one day studying all the NBA equipment boys. I mean, them are some unique brothers. Them equipment guys, the dudes who do the equipment, they know what shoe they wear. They know what orthotic they wear. They know all their endorsement deals. They know what drink they can have and what drink they don't get to have. They know how they like their shirts. They know how they like their socks. They know about their armbands. They keep records on everybody. So, yeah, we get a ring because the supporting. There's a reason we know about Aaron and her and not just about Moses. And there's a problem with everybody who wants to be Moses and nobody who wants to be Aaron and her. If you think that Aaron and Hur is going to give you a step to Moses' seat, you ain't ready for this. Verse 12. Our struggle ain't against flesh and blood. There's a word in here that should be jumping out. It's not the word y'all might think, but it should be jumping out. It jumps out at me. Because I started, Bishop Desmond and Daphne, with that's not your foot. And there's a word in this verse right here that I just need y'all to chew on for the rest of the week. You ready for it? Hour. Excuse me? It don't say my struggle. Our struggle. Paul, when he wrote this, could have, if he wanted to make it individualistic, he could have said your struggle. He didn't say that. He used a collective word. Our struggle. Our struggle. And if it's our struggle, how is the armor individualistic? If, how in the world all of us struggling, but you the only one get to put the armor on? I'm sitting out here, no armor at all, fighting right alongside of you because it's our struggle. You get armor, I don't get armor. The devil. We need to be all up in this armor together. But some of us don't want to be close enough to each other to be armored in unity. But you got to be able to say, listen, let me tell you something. Soon as you hear somebody got a problem. Me and Pastor Jamila, we've been bothered lately. Because I done heard way too many people get to talking about sciatica. Seriously. It's something in it that's bothering me in the spirit. I'm not trying to be funny. My mom was moving around and she was moving a little funny. And so yesterday or this morning, my wife was like, is your mama dealing with that sciatica thing too? Is that what that is with her too? Is it her too? Because too many people dealing with sciatica. I done messed around, got agitated. And I ain't even got sciatica. But we do. Maybe the reason I'm not dealing with sciatica is because that particular part of the body I ain't close enough to feel. But if I'm a part of the body, we got sciatica. Okay. So I dismiss somebody else's hardship because I don't see it directly. I dismiss somebody else's pain because I don't see it directly. I dismiss somebody else's story because I ain't never seen it. That's selfish. It's cruel. It's not a body. And when you do that, watch this. This is why you feel some type of way when other parts of the body start elevating and you not. It is your disconnection that kept you on the ground. Oh, that felt great. You watching other people rise and you seeing, why are you doing so well? Well, listen, you could have been doing well too, but you disconnected. And you started operating in radical individualism instead of, watch this, spiritual connectivity. And so now, we up, you down. You got it, go and be great. So if we're going to put our foot on a footstool, we got to make sure that we are a body. Huh? That way when we start reaching stuff, y'all didn't catch it. We start reaching stuff. Amen. You know, some of our leaders, many of our female leaders, they're really, really tall. Remember, I'm aerodynamic. They're really tall. Like Brittany is like 7'2", and Juanita's like 7'4", and Daphne's, she's like 7'3½". They're way up there. Even Sister Pat's like 8 feet tall. I mean, they're just really, really tall. Meanwhile, I'm real short. I'm close to the ground, you know? And so I recognize, y'all just make sure don't nothing get us from up there. Y'all work the top floors. I'm down here low. Huh? It's like a basketball team. Don't put me in the paint, coach. Don't put me in the paint. I need you in the paint with your hands up. That's why I need you in the back. You give me the ball and let me get it to you in the paint. I got you. I got you. I'm going to run point. Come down. Huh? Going to run point because I'm aerodynamic. When they trying to do all this, I'm under there. They hand check, I'm under them. I'm close. I'm going to throw you a pass. You go ahead and score. We scored. Yeah. Ain't nobody mad. I can't believe they put the ball in the basket. But the problem is, the church, ooh, I'm through. The church, like the NBA, has lost the beauty of the game. Watch. And now, Chris Simon, we got 7'4" people trying to be point guards. You out there trying to cross people up. You're 7'12". You're 1,500 feet tall. Get in the paint and body up. What's wrong with you? Out here trying to be all cute. You're 8,400 feet tall. Out here trying to do step back threes. Tall people don't do that. You get in the paint, you body up with people, and you dunk on people, and that's what you do. That's what you do. You're tall. You get in the paint, and you grab it with both hands. None of this finger roll. You don't finger roll. Short people finger roll, because we can't get up there. That's what we short. We got to be cute and finesse. Tall people, they grab the ball with both hands, and they just stop. That's what tall people do. They walk away from the basket. And the guards be out there yelling like, that's right. I'm going to feed you again. I'm going to feed you the ball again. And we win the game. We win. We win. Not when one person trying to do everything. When we're a collective. When everybody is playing their part. When everybody is singing their note. When everybody is in their lane. We win. Not when you gotta be the individual, but when you're the collective. We win. I'm just going to keep bringing the ball down. I'm going to be doing no looks. Let the guards do all that. You 85 million feet tall, and you're trying to do a no-look pass. You're tall. I need you to, one of these. That's what I need. I need you. I need you to work on your footwork. Work on your footwork. Back to the basket. I need to see what you can do with your back to the basket. And then I just need you to, while you run down the court, I'm going to be like, yeah, we win. Stop trying to be somebody you're not, because you're not that. You're not that. Father, I thank you. I honor you. I give you praise. Your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Clap those hands.